But because Satan is not in charge of the world, that's why God doesn't take permission from him. If anything, he fights him over the souls of men. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There are technicalities to the fight. But he does not ever take permission. So Satan, we would like to do evangelism in Russia and then maybe Japan afterwards. What do you think? Never did that. That's a simple way to let you know that Satan is not in charge of anything. He said, did he lie to Jesus Christ when he said that, look at these kingdoms, they've been delivered unto me. People refer to Adam. No, that was not what he was saying. What Satan was telling Jesus the truth. That's the fact. But what he was saying at that point in time, that he had managed to take over those kingdoms from the men, that is the kings there, had submitted themselves to the authority of Satan. That's what he was saying. That the kings had submitted themselves to the authority of Satan. He had gone through many ways to get them to do it, but they had done it. So he was telling Jesus, all these things I have done, just come and take it free of charge. And of course, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to be the God of Jesus also. Because once you bow, you have said you will be my God. You are getting the point I'm making there. Now, let's get back to our main exposition. So what God does is to have an agreement when he wants to work with people. And that is what we call what? Covenants. That's why you read through, if you study the scriptures a lot, they will tell you about the covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with Isaac. They tell you about the Mosaic covenant. And so one thing you have to understand is that the whole of the nation of Israel, as you and I know them, were built upon the Mosaic covenant. And that's what God was talking about in Amos. Notice the way he said it. He said, hear this word from the Lord. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. Do you get that point? The nation of Israel, as we know about them, when we talk about them most of the time, were founded upon the covenant he made with Moses. Now, there's one mistake some people made. I read it in a book some time ago. I just like to correct it. They said that the old covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. All right? And the new covenant is the new covenant that we all know. But it's not so. You know, the word new and old, you know where it's used? In the book of Hebrews. No, that word old and new was taken out of the book of Hebrews. And if we'll look at the book of Hebrews another time, not now, but we'll pick some things here and there. In that book of Hebrews was where he was referring to the laws of Moses, the covenant of Moses as the old. And he said the old, which is passing away, and then a new, which has come. You understand what I'm saying here? So when he says old and new, he was referring to the laws that the covenant God made with Moses. Now, let me quickly finish explaining what I'm saying. So when God wants to work with people, he gives them covenants. That if they have covenants between them, which gives you the terms of the relationship. I'm going to use the one of Moses as a very good example. Open quickly to the book of Exodus. When Moses came and told them the word of God, they said, go and tell God that whatever he says we should do, we'll do it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He gave them a lot of commandments. And the people, they unanimously said, no problem. There's this agreement. We will fulfill all these laws and you will do all these things for us. No problem. And then they sealed it with a covenant. That's when the elders, I think about 70 of them, I forgot the number of elders, they went to the mountain with Moses and they had a feast in the presence of the Lord to celebrate that covenant. I'm bringing a point out here. Every time God wants to work with people, they have an understanding of what is going on. Do you understand my point? That is why sometimes it will appear as if you don't understand the judgments of God. A man will do something that, by our understanding today, and let me just say this quickly, what God has done is to bring us to a particular level of understanding and revelation that makes some of the things that even David and co did look very, very sinful. But while God was working with them, it seemed to have been okay. Why? Because when they were walking with God, God had an aim for the work they had with themselves. Do you get my point? And those people never moved away from that. Do you understand my point? They will do some things peripherally wrong in our judgment today. It is not that it was right then. It was like Paul said, God overlooked it. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me explain again. Now, let me use a very practical example. The life of Abraham. God called Abraham. He said, walk before me and be perfect. And I will be your God. I will bless you. I will do all this and do all that. And if you see, what God always commended Abraham for was what? Faith. And if anything God says, it was okay by Abraham. Because he go and kill Isaac, no problem. Move from your father's house, he moved. So if God didn't give any specific instruction about anything, and Abraham did it, he tended to be overlooked. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, Abraham was basically a good man. All right? Now, when God came to him and called him, let me add this again. God always has a reason for choosing people. He has a place he's going, and he knows what he has seen in the person to choose that person. What was he looking for in Abraham? He wanted to establish a nation called Israel further down. So he needed somebody who would teach his children whatever he would teach him. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, when he called Abraham and they had the agreement, Abraham was already 75 and God came to him. Whatever I tell you to do, do it. Abraham said, no problem. He said, so leave your father's country. So the man packed and left. The sin that would have been sin before God for Abraham was to return to his father's country. Do you follow the point I'm making? The sin that would have been sin before God in the life of Abraham at that point was to return to his father's country. So the man, that's why you see, the details of their lives were not generally recorded. You wouldn't want to read some of the details. Believe me, I'm telling you this honestly. You wouldn't want to read it. Because you will look and say, what? God, you mean you tolerated this? If I try half of that, let me give you a simple example. You know, if Solomon had married all those wives that he married, but he had been careful to avoid foreign wives, he would have had no problem. His only problem was that the wives were foreign. They were Egyptians, Assyrians. That was his problem, really. Because the commandment was clean and simple. All these strange women, you're supposed to avoid them, and he did not. God never gave them commandment of you shall marry one wife. He didn't give them revelation in that area. So, David would just marry one wife, and they hear that the husband of another one died. He just carried that one and joined now. Wait, how far? Then when he kills the husband of another one, he said, God, should you have forgiven me? God said, yes. And he carries the woman, I joined again. And God will say, there was no man who followed God like David, who did nothing. You know, Bible qualified David that he did nothing wrong, except in the case of Uriah. That the only thing he did wrong was that Uriah's case. A man will get up, Philistines that did not offend him, he will go and kill them so he can pay bride price. That's wickedness. But God said, forget that thing, Banky, just leave on, leave on. Hey, don't be David. What man go do now? Leave on, leave on, leave on. He said, but God, if I tried it, if you try it now, I'll kill you first. Revelation now is different. That's why Paul said that in times past, God overlooked some things. Then when revelation came, he said, time to repent, guys. I won't take that anymore. Now, why am I saying all of this? When God was giving commandments to the children of Israel, and that's another word I want to explain, when the Bible tells you that forever, you have to always take that word in context. That one I have to explain it. Because I've seen people try to explain that the Bible said, this shall be thy laws forever. Ever before God is within the context of that covenant. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If there's to the end of time, that is which time are we referring to? If you enter university now, you're on campus. He said that this shall be your matriculation number forever. When you go to Harvard, you know it's not your matriculation number. You get my point? If you leave us to go to UNEC, that matriculation number is null and void and of no effect. But if you come back to Air Suit for a PhD, in 20 years' time, that is still your matriculation number. Well, what do they call it here? In my university, it was matriculation number. Registration number, they call it in UNEC. At least that one I know, okay? No, I had a classmate my registration number was 85. We entered in 85. One of my classmates' registration number was 76 or 77. He studied pharmacy first as a first degree before he came to study medicine. So they didn't issue him a new registration number. They just give him the same one. So that shall be his registration number forever. But that's because he came back to UniBen. If he had crossed over to Harvard or had gone to Yale, any other school, even in Nigeria, that registration number doesn't work. Do you understand my point? So when you hear that God says that you shall observe this ordinance forever, it means to the end of that covenant. I mean, I'm saying this because when something has finished its aim, has achieved its aim, God closes it also. Do you follow the point I'm making? I mean, if you enter a bus, you are going to Lagos, you pay. When you get to Lagos, calm down. You have not established a marriage relationship with the driver just because he carried you to Lagos. That journey for that time has ended. I'm sorry to say, that is what the church of God, they have refused to accept, and they still maintain that there is something special about that nation called Israel that is fighting the Palestinians for land. I am sorry, this is one guy who has read the Bible enough to say that it is not true. I am going to explain this. We will not be able to get into all of that today. But I want to bring out a point here. We'll look at the scriptural lessons in it, but read the book of Hebrews. You will see that God's emphasis was always, the time is coming. We'll read that one from Jeremiah and then from Hebrews. That a time will come when I will do this. And let me just explain this to you. God, in fact, I think we should read it. Let's read it. This one will be important. Let me just use it to explain what I'm saying. There's a particular truth I want to leave with us today. Jeremiah 31. He said, but this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now that was quoted in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with that of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, on the day I took them by the hand, and you know, go to verse 10. You'll see what we just read. Then verse 13 is what I want to read now. It said, when he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to disappear. What he was saying is that at the time he said a new covenant, at that point he made that one old. That is, get ready to wind up. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's when he was speaking in Jeremiah. That we'll look at verse chapter 9 next time. And he now began to explain some things about that. But I want to bring out a point here. The nation of Israel was set up for a particular purpose. To bring Jesus Christ down to the earth. They were the channel that God would use. Now, I do not have time to explain the details. Neither do I know all the details. But it was necessary for God to prepare a special people to bring Jesus Christ to be. Do you understand my point? Listen, God always has an aim in mind. David was special to God, not because of David himself, but because he perfectly fulfilled the purpose of God in bringing Jesus Christ to the earth. Do you understand my point? When he said that, look, I have made my covenant with David, that his descendant will always be on the throne. What he was saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be, naturally speaking, a descendant of David. There was a time they killed all the descendants of David. Apart from one little boy, I think it was Joash. If that boy had died, then that promise of God, it don't kaput. But God knew what he was doing. He watched him very closely. They took him and hid him. And he survived. God knew what he was doing. He brought out the nation of Israel specifically to bring Jesus Christ to the earth. And after that, I want to close with what I want to introduce now. After that, he closed that covenant. He said that this one is passing how? Away. Listen to me. Abraham as a person is not the same as the nation of Israel. The covenant of Abraham was very different from that of the nation of Israel. The covenant of Abraham, you know when it was enacted. The one with that nation, Israel, was enacted after they left Egypt. Do you get my point? And he had his end, which did not coincide with the ending of the Abrahamic covenant. It didn't. Because the Abrahamic covenant, that one is something very different. Because you and I are part of the covenant God made with Abraham. Let me quickly say this. Anytime God gives promises, but we discussed it before, his promises still have conditions that must be fulfilled before they are released. Do you get what I'm saying? That's sometimes you have to pray some things that God has said he will do to be on the earth. You remember our two examples, Simeon and Anna. Jesus was going to come. But God raised people then that were praying for the coming of Jesus Christ and were eagerly waiting for it. That their faith was so strong that Jesus had to be born. Before that, the person who started that was Abraham. Because what God gave Abraham was what? In you will all the nations of the earth be blessed, period. Listen, everything that God was doing with Abraham was to bring that thing to be. That in him, all the nations of this earth will be blessed. I'm coming to a point, please. It's very, very important. I'm going to close with the point I want to make. Now, what's special about the nation of Israel, we said before, was what? To them, Paul was saying, was committed the oracles of God. We discussed that last time. What that thing meant is that everything that God wanted to do, listen to this one, as a result of the coming of Jesus Christ, God wrote it down ahead of time and gave it to the nation of Israel to keep so that you and I can have access to reading it later. Are you getting my point? It did not mean that thing was meant for them alone. Listen to this. Let's quickly read Peter, what he said about it. 1 Peter 1:12. Remember, we talked about the fact that the oracles of God was committed to the nation of Israel. Now, when he was going to speak about that oracles of God, see what he was saying here. He said, there is a salvation. We shall talk about that salvation as we go on. Which the prophets prophesied, verse 10. He says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that will come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. We'll talk about the sufferings of Christ and his glory, please. Not now, of course. He said, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. What I want to bring out from here is this. The prophets prophesied and they did not understand what they were saying. That is, if he had given Isaiah the opportunity to write a commentary on the book of Isaiah, he would have written nonsense. You didn't hear what I said? Let me say it again. If you had given Isaiah, after he had finished prophesying, you gave him the book, say, write a commentary explaining the prophecies. Everything he would have told you would have been lies. Absolute inaccuracies. If you had given Jeremiah to explain what we just read now in Jeremiah, Jeremiah would have said things that were wrong. And they understood it. So they went to God and said, God, what's going on? God said, don't worry, write it down and go and die in peace. That the people who will decode it at the appropriate time. Are you following the point I'm making? Because there's a reason why I'm building this one up. I have found out it pains me in the body of Christ. I have seen people stand up to teach deep doctrines founded upon the practice of Mosaic laws. And I just shake my head and I say, you don't get the point. I just shake my head in my heart. You don't get the point. The Mosaic laws were given to the Jews to keep them as a pure nation so that Jesus could come. It couldn't hold a descendant of Jesus Christ at all. It couldn't. You have to understand that a man who has gone to university, you can't tell him 2 plus 2 and say, count two sticks, put it aside, count two sticks, then mix the two of them and count them. You know why? He's an adult. When he's telling 2 plus 2, he flashes in his head 4. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The laws of Moses were for... there's so much to say. But if Paul will tell you that when we are babes, we are kept under tutors. I told somebody once, I said, children are always brought up by law. That's the rule. You want to bring up a child, you must give them laws. Even when they are new believers, you give them laws on what to do and what not to do. But as they grow up, they begin to discover liberty. Not actually lawlessness, but liberty in obedience to God. There's a world of difference. You are getting my point? I don't smoke, I don't drink. But nobody tells me, don't smoke. You know what I mean? It's not because my father is going to beat me. I have realized a folly in all those things. You understand my point? I don't do things now that are not expedient. The issue now for me is not a matter of law. It's what? What is expedient? I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. But for the nation of Israel, God gave them laws. And he now told them that the new covenant I'm bringing, these laws, I will write them upon your heart. It is not, look, we used to misunderstand it. That it means that some will be able to remember everything. No. God said, no, that's not what I'm saying. Do you know why when you're hungry, you don't go to the bush next door, bend down and bite off amaranthus because you're hungry? Do you know why? You're not a goat. That's the only reason. There's no spiritual reason beyond that. You are not a goat. But goats, when they are hungry, they don't go to Mama Put. They don't say, they just go there. I just see fresh grass. Start eating. Nobody taught the goat how to eat. No, if you've studied medicine or you've observed little babies, you will understand babies. There are things that God put inside them. It's called thy law within my heart. Go and test this and see a little baby. I mean, a fresh baby, maybe a few days old, one or two weeks. When the baby is sleeping, just do this. Touch the baby's cheek. You know what he does instantly? He thinks it's nipple. He wants to grab it and start sucking. Not they waste time. That is, the law of sucking is within his heart. We call it rooting reflex in medicine. The baby's mouth tracks the thing. Do you understand my point? The law is that you must suckle, so that you will be healthy. But there is the writing of the law in the heart, in which they don't need to tell you to suck. Just touch the cheek, and then whatever is there must go into the stomach. That was what God was saying when he said, I will write the laws in their hearts. I said that anything God wants to do, there is a purpose. The purpose for everything, I should read that one before I close what I want to say. I'm getting to a place, so please. Hebrews chapter 2. Ever since the beginning, one day I began to meditate. The Bible says the things that are seen, from there you can understand the things that are not seen. I said, why did God make man? And in my heart, I felt, go and check why he made the woman for the man. Then you understand why he made man for himself. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's like that in the scriptures. You see it. Christ and the church is the bride of Christ. Do you follow my point? So when I say, why did God make man? Then look, why did he make the woman for the man? Simple. It is not good for God to be alone. Therefore, I will make him a partner that is fitting, somebody like him. You don't get the point here. It has to be like him. So the whole aim was to bring men to glory. Now, I said something, what were we discussing then? When I said there is what the Bible calls equality with God. What were we discussing? What it calls equality with God is it exists so. And it is attainable by mankind. And in fact, the purpose of God in bringing Jesus is so that everybody can attain it. He brought Jesus down, and Jesus was neutral. He was not equal with God after he came down. Because the Bible said that he laid aside that equality and came down like a mere man. And then he achieved that equality with God by his walk on the earth. And then that way, he opened a door into glory for anybody that will follow his footsteps. Do you get the point I'm making? That article that I said I'll give you, read it inside. That's why you look through the whole of the religions of man. There's always what they call the living perfect master. They're always looking for it. You don't read around a bit? Guru Maharaj calls himself what? The living and perfect master. The day I began to meditate on these things, I was sitting down and one Ekanka man was on TV and he talked about the Ekanka's Mahanta. My first relationship with that expression, I was on TV. I listened to the man and he began to describe their Mahanta. I said, that's another. He said, they call him the God man, the union of God and man in flesh. I said, very good. Sounds very much like divine truth, spiritual truth, wrongly applied. I told you, error doesn't mean that thing in itself is not true. It's the application where you have placed it that makes it wrong. I told you something last week, that the Jews, God was relating with them. At the same time, he was relating with other people also, right? The Jews were waiting for the Messiah. Listen to me. The rest of the nations of the earth were also waiting for their own Messiah. They just did not call him the Messiah. They were also waiting for deliverance. The Bible said they are all groaning. They know there is a problem. And they say if mankind will step into a position of glory, we will be free from all this, our subjection to death. That was why I took time out to try there. I forgot most of the information now. If I tell you the kind of things where I don't read them, you go fear. I settled down and began to look for somebody to give me materials about this man, Buddha. I wanted to know what was he running after. I realized that what he was looking for also was liberation from oppression, liberation from subjection to death. Listen to me, they were all waiting for the Messiah of God. Let me say this to you. Buddha lived before Jesus Christ, right? Long before him. If he was alive when Jesus came, he would have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am telling you that. I bank it. I'm telling you that. All the disciples who have missed their times and their seasons. Listen to what I'm saying. If Moses was alive when Jesus came, you know what he would have done? He would have said, I must decrease so that you might increase. If Elijah was alive, just like John the Baptist, they would have said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Believe me what I'm telling you. If the descendants of Buddha could really call the followers could really call him and say, oh boy, how far? He would say, you people are still here. Long ago, the thing we were looking for came. How do I know? The Jews, are they still not looking for him? I've told you, error is not that the thing in itself has a problem. Error is that the time has passed, you are still using it. It's called expiry date, which NAFDAC insists that everything must have. Fake drug is not only fake because it's not containing the content. It did not contain the content. It's also fake because it has expired and you are still selling it. You know that? If you manufacture a wrong drug or you sell an expired one, both of them are crime. If Dora catches you, you are in trouble. So the man that lied about the spiritual truth and the one that knew the real truth and carried it beyond the point of the expiry date, both of them are in the same soup. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Is it making sense to what I'm saying? So what God was doing, everywhere men were waiting for something and God was preparing that thing. It's like people are hungry everywhere. There is a kitchen in which you are cooking. Those in that house, we eat. Those who are not there, we also eat. As long as they come as a mealtime. Is that not the fact? If we want to have something to eat now after today and say, okay, somebody please go to Mr. Biggs. We don't have to have this meeting in Mr. Biggs to get their meat pie. We'll just go there and go and collect it. What am I saying? The nation of Israel was the cook for the thing that God wanted to save mankind. Unfortunately, their prophets did not understand. They said, if you are not a shareholder in UAC, you cannot eat Mr. Big's product. And we have come to tell them that they are lying. Do you get the point I'm making? That was what made Paul stand out. Paul said, there is a mystery which was hidden before, that's from in ages past, which has now been revealed. There are two mysteries talked about. He said, number one, Christ in you, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the hope of glory. That is this thing we are talking about. In fact, I said she opened somewhere. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. He said, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, we see him crowned with glory and honor. He said, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Notice verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to what? In bringing many sons to what? Glory. To perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. That is, Jesus was the author of the salvation of the whole of mankind. If Buddha, I don't know him personally, I don't know much of his teachings. If he was a true seeker of God, and Jesus had met him on the earth, he would have told the disciples, see, certain people are coming, disciples of one man who was there. Listen to him. So you will understand that if all those men, Confucius, all of them, if they were indeed true seekers of God, they will have recognized that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God that they were waiting for. The story I want to share with you, it really happened in Nigeria. You know, if you have spiritual eyes and you have some understanding, you can easily pick up information. What I mean is that it took an Isaac Newton to sit under a tree to think about gravity. Apples have been falling on people's heads. Nobody ever worried about it. In fact, it's only apples. Trees are falling on their houses. They didn't worry about it. That is, if you have some understanding, certain things become, you know, visible to you. I was watching this particular program on the NTA then. They used to bring up important people and interview them, talk about their lives and all that. I forgot the name of the program now. Now, the man who used to do it now, he's late now. But this particular one, he brought Ishaya Odu. Ishaya Odu was a former vice chancellor of ABU, a consultant pediatrician, a professor of pediatrics from Southern Zaria. What's the interesting thing about him? Ishaya Odu is a Hausa man. I was a Christian. I think he's still alive. I'm not sure, but he's a Christian. All right? So that man, James Odu, he asked Ishaya Odu that, how come you're a Christian and you're in a place that's predominantly Muslim? He began to tell his story. That his grandfather was an Islamic cleric. That is, they did nothing but meditate on the teachings of Islam, do meditations. In summary, they were really seeking after God. Then one day the man had a vision. And a malaika appeared to him, that's an angel. And instructed him that she has been seeking after truth. Yes, that he should travel down 2 days, 2 days journey towards the south. That he will meet some people who are coming up towards the north. If you listen to them, they will teach him the way of truth. And the man told all his followers, he's gotten some instructions and he's going down there. And they began to walk down. On the second day, he met some missionaries who were going out to preach. And he told them, this is what I saw in a vision, just like Cornelius. And they sat him down and taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he returned back. You know, he had a large following and said, we have finally found what we are looking for. That is why till today, Southern Zaria is Christian. This was told, I heard, not somebody told somebody that told somebody it now happened somewhere, that it happened that Banky heard from the third party. No. I was listening to Ishaya Hudu tell the story about his own grandfather. Do you get my point? In him was light, and that light was the light of man. Oh, you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, there are many stories to explain. I told you one last week of how the Ifa priest in Egba land went and met, I heard it from Tunde Bakare, went and met their ruler and said that Ifa said that certain people are coming to tell them the truth about life, and they are supposed to receive them properly. To the shock of the missionaries, people were like, Ekabusa, you know, I'm sure now Yoruba men now, they must have been prostrating for them. You are welcome. You are welcome. Why? Because those men were really seeking after God. That's why I don't believe all this one that you're only a Christian because you're in a Christian nation. It's not true. I have a book go and get a copy. You know, people, I told them, praying people that they don't read enough. I dared to call him father, Bilkis Sheikh. The woman was a big woman, a princess in Pakistan, in the depth of Muslim land. When the cry of her soul rose up to God, God sent messengers to her. Are you getting my point? Listen, God is always there. Anybody who wants to know God, we get to know him. Are you getting my point? Now, what God prepared for the whole of mankind, he gave to the children of Israel, say, keep. They thought it was for them alone. And unfortunately, that disease that did not leave Peter alone, that disease that probably contributed to the death of James, I'm sorry, that disease that held all those men in bondage, of which the only guy that was almost fully liberated was Paul. Almost. For your information, because of the little, if I say this, it might shock some of you. Because of the little amount that Paul did not remove from his heart, he died for it. Some of us look and say, he was a zealous man. Oh, that he's zeal of, I wish I was cut off from my brethren. Because take your time, oh. I bear them witness. They have a zeal. Because I'm warning you. The man now went to Jerusalem. After God, if I tell you, you shock some of you. God specifically instructed Paul, don't set your feet in Jerusalem. Paul walked into Jerusalem in arrant disobedience, which was stimulated by passion for my people. You know why Nigeria is finding it very hard to move forward? Because everybody thinks that when they elect him president, he is there to represent his people. A president is a national president. If you are an Igbo man, you are the president of the Hausa man. If you are a Hausa man, you are the president of the Ijo man. Let me give you this word. It's very true. Where we are going in Nigeria, any man who does not recognize that will never make it to be president. That is why those who have been shouting, it's our turn, it's our turn. They won't get it. You, who wants to argue with me? They will not get it. It is not because God doesn't want to give them. He said, they don't understand. Presidency is not regional. TDJ said something once. I was listening, watching it. He said he had a friend. He met a man. He said, the guy is a Christian and the president of a nation. I've forgotten which country. He said, as a pastor, you are the pastor of Christians. Only Christians. He said, as a president, I'm the president of Christians. I'm the president of Muslims. I'm the president of idol worshippers. I'm the president of atheists. I don't just do things to please a certain group of people. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's one thing people don't understand. The nation of Israel, that was their problem. They thought Jesus was their private property. The Messiah is our own. There's this superiority complex that even the church, it pains me when I see, next week I'll go into that mystery that God revealed through Paul. That Paul almost lost. How did I get to understand this? I heard my pastor talk about it. I went to say, come and give me the details. Paul didn't teach anything wrong. Are you getting my point? He didn't teach anything wrong. But stepping into Jerusalem was a problem. Agabus, he said that he was ready to die for Christ. That was not his issue. God said clearly, this man must not set feet in Jerusalem. Read your Bible. He said very clearly, he said, by many ones, they were telling him by the Spirit that you are not supposed to go to Jerusalem. Oh, and he went in there. Peter, James, and co. He said, was Peter there then? I think so. They have been saying this. They have been saying, you know what you are going to do now? You will shave your head. Paul said, okay. They shaved his head. You will go to the temple. God said, the temple that I departed from, and you are aware of it, Paul. Pastor Paul, you said something. He said, if God had not intercepted what happened, you know what would have happened? People have written letters that say even Paul obeys the laws of Moses. And that would have been the death of Galatians you are reading now. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all those letters, they will become rubbish. And God said, you dare me, watch it. You aren't coming out. From there, God just took him like this and put him in a cage. And he never allowed him back into Jerusalem. Ever. He took him to places. He set him free. But he was a prisoner. He had his own house. He was teaching people. He kept on preaching the gospel, writing letters. But God said, I have locked you out of Jerusalem permanently by myself, that men might know that in truth I have left Jerusalem. See why all these things don't impress me? Some people go and gather and be building temple. When Jesus Christ comes, this will be his throne. You know, and we minister from this side. Shadows. Not even exact representations. Things that passed away. That's why, Christians, you have to be very, very careful about your use of items of worship. Most of them is nothing but pure backsliding. Once something is an item of worship, it's backsliding. Listen, Paul can heal people through handkerchief, oil, shadow. That's what the Bible calls, there are diversities of manifestations. Do you understand my point? If I say this, it'll surprise you. It amazes me. You know, Orthodox people, you know, Orthodox churches, Catholics, Anglicans, all those, all the Protestant churches, they wear robes. Then Pentecostals got more light and said, God does not require a robe. And we said, that is divine truth. So we stepped out. Then do you know how when they started backsliding? When they started wearing robe also. That's when you will know that backsliding has begun. Listen, some of these things, I don't bother about it. All right, it doesn't matter. You wear robe, you wear cloth. In fact, if you like, dress like fella to come and preach. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by fella? Wear ordinary pata. And come to the pulpit. It's your problem. You understand what I'm saying? But please, if you make a law of it, I will give you distance. That this is divine order. I say, you see, you don't understand covenants that have passed away. These things all belong to long ago. In these last days, Jesus said something. We'll talk about that next week. Those that worship him will worship him how? In spirit and in truth. You know what it means? Anything that does not rise up spontaneously out of their heart is not acceptable before God. People talk about dancing in the spirit or dancing in the flesh, like Ken Hagin talked about in that his book. I said, one of the things people don't understand is that Ken Hagin was pulling men out of a rut that a lot of us were not in. If you want to know what it means to dance in the spirit or dance in the flesh, I don't believe that a spirit of God must so-called endow you and then suddenly you don't know what you are doing. No. I don't believe that. Example I like to explain, used to explain that thing is this. When I was going for youth service, my mother had never heard of Taraba State. Even me, I never heard about it until I saw my call-up letter. You know why? There was no Taraba State until that year. It had just been created. I was the first amongst the first set of coppers that went to Taraba. Taraba. We're the first set of coppers that went to Taraba State. Posted to Taraba. Where's Taraba? We had to look for a map to check. Former Gongola. Okay. Okay. So I took a round trip. I didn't know where I was going. Crossed the river by Kenu. I'm serious. I didn't know. There was another route, but we didn't know. It took me 12 hours to get to Wukari. But when I was going, my mother said, write. I said, Mommy, I'm not going to write. This was before the days of phone everywhere. Write. I said, I'm not going to write. You know why I didn't want to write? I wasn't a wicked man. I was actually planning to write. I didn't want her to wait for the letter. Because indeed I wrote, and I got home before the letter. So I was afraid something like that would happen. But this is what I want to understand. After camp, I checked my primary assignment in certain Gashaka local government and came down home, you know, for a week or two before you go back. And that day, as I was coming down home, I dropped on the road, had my bag in my hand, and our house is kind of some 100 meters from the road. The road curved a bit. As I took the last curve, my mom, I think my parents, some of my siblings were going out. So the car had driven out of the compound. I think somebody was closing the gate. So my mom walked out of the compound. She was not inside the car. She walked out to go and enter the car outside. And then from afar, I think I just called her. Or somebody just said, hey, see. You know, she just saw me. She had not heard or seen or smelled in the last 1 month from this her dear son that went to one Taraba. She had never heard of Taraba State. Now this is why I'm telling the story. As soon as she saw me, spontaneously she dropped to her knees and raised her hands up. That is true worship. That is on the street. That is what Jesus called true worship. Nobody commanded that. It was like, God, you saw him down there and you brought him back in peace. Okpeo. You get the point. That is what God said is true worship.